I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. A lot of people look forward to retiring after decades of hard work. But even for people who are eager for new challenges and adventures, retirement can be scary. Do you have enough money saved? Are you feeling like you've got a secure future? One of the tricky questions that will come up for most Americans is when is the right time to start taking your Social Security benefits? How much you get depends not only on what you or your spouse have earned over your working lifetimes, but also at what age you decide to start collecting. The longer you wait, the more you're eligible for, generally speaking, up to age 70. But some people can't wait, don't want to wait, or have other factors that contribute to making that a complicated decision. Today on the show, we're going to focus on the ins and outs of the Social Security retirement dance, and we're joined by certified financial counselor Liz Scharf. Welcome back to the show, Liz.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
What's the basic formula for how your Social Security benefit is calculated?
So over the course of your working lifetime, you are paying 7.65% towards your FICA, which includes Social Security and Medicare. So 6.2% of that is going to Social Security. So that's not actually going into a specific pot in your name. It's going
to—
Yeah, it's not a bank account. It's going specifically to the Social Security, and it's being given to the current recipients of Social Security. So to qualify, you basically earn credits, and you can earn up to four per year. And for every $1,300 that you earn one credit. And so what this translates to, in order to be eligible for Social Security, you need to have 40 credits, which is about 10 years of work. Now, a lot of people think, oh, it's my 10 highest earning years that is calculated, and that's not exactly how it goes. Basically, what Social Security does is they look at your 35 years of work, and they have this whole sort of calculation process where they'll look at your salary over 35 years. They'll adjust it for inflation. So if you're making $12,000 back in the 80s, they're going to look at that as sort of real dollars. And then they're going to rank the highest of those 35, take an average, divide by 12, and then there's this figure. And this figure is not what you're going to get as your benefit, but rather what they calculate your benefit on. So in general, if you're not a real high income earner, you can expect to earn about possibly 70% of what you sort of retired with in your working years. And the more you make, the more you're going to earn.
Up to a certain amount.
Up to a certain amount, exactly. So the first like $128,000 or a little less than that of your income is taxed for Social Security. If you make more than that, you aren't taxed on Social Security.
What's the philosophy here behind this kind of retirement program?
Well, I mean, it was originally designed as a social safety net back in the 30s, you know, after the Depression, and it was not intended to be someone's full source of retirement funds. So it really was designed to be a safety net. However, more and more people rely on it. About 20% of Americans rely solely on Social Security, and over 50% count on it as a very important piece, if not the most major piece of their retirement package.
Is that a problem?
Yes, it is, because the reality is that the amount of money that you get in Social Security, so the highest, if you're a really high income earner, you can expect to get about $2,800 a month. But if you're sort of the average worker, you're looking at $1,300 a month. And that's at your quote unquote full retirement age. And again, as you mentioned earlier, it could be less if you take it earlier or more if you wait.
So there are a number of times when you can decide to start taking your benefit. And Liz Scharf, you mentioned full retirement age. What's that? And then what's on either side of it?
That's a great question. So for me, when I think about retirement, I say to myself, geez, I hope I can stop working between 62 and 65. And I think, well, I'll be eligible for Medicare when I'm 65. But my Social Security full retirement age is actually 67, as is yours, Jane. And our children, it may even be older for them. So the full retirement age is the benefit amount that you're sort of quoted if you get your Social Security statement. It's going to say at your full retirement age, this is what you can expect to get if you continue working. There's lots of ifs, ands, buts, and unlesses in Social Security.
So 65 for some people still, and then it's been increased to 67. People are living longer. You know, it's a tighter thing for Social Security benefits. So 67 is the full retirement age. Is it kind of – I mean, it reminds me a little bit like if you have a savings bond, if you let the bond fully mature, you get 100%. You know, if you if you take it out early, you get a little bit less. If you leave it in there, you get a little bit more. So you can actually start collecting benefits at 62, right? But you're not going to get that full amount that you would get at 67, that sort of quoted amount.
Yes, that's correct. So I can give you an actual example. Usually examples in Social Security make a lot more sense than spouting out percentages.
Lots of numbers, yeah.
Right, and numbers. So let's say at full retirement age, your benefit is going to be around $1,000. We'll use that number. So let's say you decide to take it at 62. You can see about a 30% decrease. So instead of getting $1,000, you would get $700. And that number stays the same for the rest of your life. If you decide to wait until your maximum age, which is 70, you would see an increase of about 8% per year. And so you would see more than, you know, you could see perhaps closer to 1,500. The example I just gave was I need to correct that. If your full retirement age was 1,300, you can expect to get less than that. You expect to get around $1,000, and then you could closer to 1,500.
All right. So if I was going to retire at 67 and get 1,300, if I actually retire at 62 and start pulling out my benefit, then I'd be getting more like 1,000. And if I wait until I'm 70, even if I leave my job, if I wait till I'm 70 to start collecting Social Security, I'd get more like 1,700, 1,800.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Got it. We have some questions and thoughts from people already who are thinking about this, have advice, have questions. Some of them sound a little bit like math problems that we'd be used to from fifth grade. You know, if, then, and, you know, how many miles must I travel before I hit the train? But Michael in North Walcott says, I retired and took Social Security at 62 after 36 years of hard work in a field I did well in but was ready for a change. After 3 years, I have found that the Social Security I thought would be enough, along with my modest pension and soccer officiating, maple sugaring, woodlot management for income, is not really enough. I don't regret my decision, but now need to find more income at 65. What I would say to prospective retirees, first of all, conceive of retirement as refirement. And I think he means like get fired up for something else, a new stage in your life. And Michael says, then whatever age you elect to take Social Security, you will weather the financial storms because you have a vision for your golden years that may be very different from your early career. Ross in Middlebury says, will a Social Security recipient receive more money overall by taking the minimum benefit starting at age 62 than by waiting until a later age when the benefit payments are higher? I imagine it depends on how long a person lives. So how many years must a Social Security recipient receive the lowest paying benefits starting at age 62 before the total amount of money received is greater than waiting to receive Social Security benefits until a later age when payments are higher? Liz, let's simplify this a little bit just to say that, you know, sure, if you want a higher amount each year and you can wait until 70, that's great. But if you then die at 72, you haven't actually, you know, saved yourself money. You didn't make a great financial choice. Not that we can predict when we're going to die, but in thinking about, you know, how long you think you're going to use Social Security for, how much of an income boost it is for you. Are there people for whom taking it at 62 is actually a better financial decision, even though it's less money per year?
So the listener brings up a good point. What he's sort of talking about is that break-even point. Like, when is it that the amount that you withdraw, if you withdraw early versus full retirement age versus 70 or somewhere in between, because there's no hard and fast rules. You can do it anytime during the year. Will you come out making more from Social Security? And for me, you know, as a financial counselor, one of the biggest sort of issues that folks have around personal finances is cash flow. So I feel it's less about how much can I make off of Social Security as and more to the effect, how much do I need in order to make my monthly expenses and perhaps live to age 90, knowing that this is what my benefit is going to be? So there definitely are calculators for break-even points. I can give an example. Let's say you get $1,500 at age 62, or if you waited until age 66, you would get $2,000. Your break-even age would be around 78. So if you lived past 78, you would earn more dollars in Social Security over your correction lifetime. But if you died before that, you would have been better off taking it at age 62. So again, it's, you know, you have to ask, when are you going to die? Do you know? I mean, that's not a realistic answer. But we do know that people are living longer. And it's super important to think about what is, and this sort of goes into the spousal side of things, what is the maximum benefit that you want to leave your spouse so that the person who's remaining has the most benefit. And sometimes that means having a strategy around should the higher earner wait till they're 70 and the lower earner can take it a little bit sooner. And again, there are calculators. If he wanted to plug in his full retirement age and his benefit, it would spew it out for him.
But for you, it's more about cash flow needs than trying to game the system and
exactly.
Try to figure out how long you're going to live. And
exactly. And I think that a lot of these, you know, there's a lot of literature out there and a lot of good information around Social Security, but a lot of it is about how can I maximize my benefit? When in reality, for many people and many Vermonters, it's really more about, you know, what do I need to make ends meet through the end of the month?
Yeah. And another consideration is, you know, how long are you going to be in your job? You know, people sometimes lose their job at 63 or 65, and it can be a real struggle, especially when you're in the older ages, depending on what your field is, to get another good paying job. And so maybe you thought you were going to wait until 65 or 67 or 70, but then, you know, suddenly your plans can change. How should people be thinking when we certainly don't know what the future holds? So even our job security is sometimes at risk.
Right. And so, you know, we may have all good intentions of waiting till age 70, and that might not work out for us just based on our specific circumstances. People become disabled and they don't expect that that's going to happen. And, you know, there is also the idea that, you know, you can continue working. So a lot of times, I mean, a lot of my colleagues are on Medicare and they're working full time. They're not collecting their benefits. They could be collecting benefits. So a lot of times it's taking a combination of resources available to earn income, Social Security being one of those resources to help us get through the month.
How much can you earn per year and still collect Social Security and get your maximum benefit? And can you keep working even past age 70? There's no, you know, you don't have to stop working in order to collect Social Security. So how does that all sugar out?
Right. So if you are before your full retirement age, so again, that depends on the year that you were born, what your full retirement age is. If you're working before that and you're collecting Social Security, you can earn up to around, it's just shy of $17,000. Once you earn over $17,000, those dollars, for every $2 earned over $17,000, a dollar is deducted from your Social Security check. And it's a little bit more complicated than that either. As well. It's not necessarily that your check gets deducted, but in some circumstances, if you're making quite a bit of money and your benefit is reduced because you're working, you may not actually even get Social Security payments for the first 2 or 3 months because that's when they take out what you owe. And then you start to get your benefit. So it's a little complicated. It can mess with people's cash flow.
Let's go to Carl, who's calling in from Hyde Park. Hi, Carl.
Hi, how are you? My question is, both my wife and I are going to turn 66 this year. We're both retired. We both have pensions through the companies at which we retired from, and we're not taking Social Security yet. I've heard that you can maximize the benefit that a spouse gets if one, in this case, I'd say my wife starts taking hers early and I don't take mine until I'm 69 or 70. Is there any truth to that, or how close to that is being accurate?
So you may be so in your situation, it, and again, this is very sort of broad information, not specific to you per se, but so if you and your wife more or less have good working incomes and you both expect to get decent Social Security payouts, what I would consider, in fact, this is what I'm considering for myself, is where the higher earner spouse waits until age 70 to collect if they can afford to, and then the lower earning spouse could start collecting at their full retirement age. That way you have money coming in, and then what happens is when one of you passes away, after age 70 and you start collecting on the highest earning benefit, when one of you passes away, the highest amount of benefit is available to the surviving spouse for the rest of their life. Now, what you might be thinking of is that there was a time that was available to folks who, and it was called the file and suspend, where you could you could file but suspend your payment, and then your spouse could collect on your benefit. That has been phased out. That was phased out in, or it was more than phased out. It was taken away in 2015. And so I believe it's 1953 or earlier, if you were born, that you might be able to do, to have done that, but you would have had to enroll in it already. So it's a little bit more complicated. I don't want to go into detail about that because it's not available to people anymore.
When we talk about spousal benefits, though, this is one of the ways it seems that it was sort of built into the system primarily when only one spouse worked, so that there was a way for a spouse who did not work or did not collect much of an income to be able to collect on that higher spousal income. But it's a 50% of the spousal income that you can collect on, right? So it sort of depends on what your salaries are as a married couple.
Yeah. So spousal, the spousal benefit becomes a little less important as more and more spouses are working and making enough income to collect in their own right. Because, as you said, Jane, the spousal benefit is 50% of the benefit that the worker had. Right. So for folks like, say, stay-at-home parents or and it's generally women, and Social Security really is a women's issue because we are the ones who tend to work less and, because we're staying home with the kids or having more flexible, lower-paying jobs in order to take care of the family. But in general, if we're working, it's probably what Social Security does is they look at your benefit and half of your spousal's benefit, and you get whichever is higher.
You can also collect on an ex-spouse.
Yes, you can.
But there are certain – you have to have been married for 10 years, right? And
yep.
You have to have not remarried by the age of 60 in order to collect
exactly.
on your ex.
You've done your homework.
I'm not – we'll see. Maybe I'll be in that situation. Who knows? But also, you don't necessarily – if you're not married to that person, you don't necessarily have to wait until they start collecting to collect on your ex-spouse's benefits, whereas you do if you're collecting a spousal benefit
yes.
from a living current spouse.
Exactly. So you don't have to go back to the ex-spouse that you haven't spoken to in 20 years to find out if they started collecting. You can collect as early as 62, but again, the benefit is reduced, and you're already only getting 50% of that benefit anyway. And they don't have to be collecting, but they do have to be – the ex-spouse has to be at least 62 years or older, and you have to be divorced for two or more years.
All right. So to that end, W emailed in to say, as a 63-year-old divorced and unremarried retirement age person, my question revolves around the question of at what age I would be able to claim the benefit earned from my over 10-year marriage, during which I did not work outside the home. My former spouse continues to earn an income in excess of the maximum Social Security taxable amount, but he's only 55 years old. From my visits to my local Social Security office, I'm told that I cannot currently receive any benefit from my ex's record, but they won't relay any other information other than the fact that I could currently retire on my benefit record and that it is currently more than the one-half threshold of my ex's benefit. My question is, as I am currently living at less than 150% of the poverty level, would I be better off collecting today on my own work benefit and then, with an educated calculation, at what future date would I be able to start collecting based on my ex's benefit?
That's a really big question, and I'd have to reread it. I mean, just thinking about all those moving pieces that you have there. What age did he say he was or she was?
So
right now?
The ex-spouse is 55. The person who emailed in is 63.
Okay, right. So the ex-spouse isn't 62 yet. So that's why Social Security has told him that they can't collect on the ex-spouse yet. So the ex-spouse has to be 62. Doesn't have to be collecting, but has to be 62.
The other question that W asks, though, is why won't the folks at my local Social Security office help with this? And you really do have an answer to that, Liz.
Yeah. So they legally can't give you personalized advice. And, you know, I would say that the website is quite modern and helpful, but they can't give you specific advice about your situation, which makes it complicated because there is, you know, an answer for you that might make sense. There are Social Security calculators out there that people will sell. So if you Google one of them that I suggest people look into is, so there's this book called Get What's Yours, which became very popular a few years ago prior to the 2015 budget change in Social Security. And it was The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. And so if you Google that, they have a calculator where you can pay a very modest fee of about $40 and plug in your exact information, like what you have in savings, what your age is, what your full retirement age is, and it will sort of spew out, and your marital status, it will spew out information that can tell you what is, you know, sort of in your best interest. And so, you know, if you're struggling with it, it may be worth spending a few dollars just to do that to see where you come out. But again, Social Security really cannot give you specifics. They can answer the legal parts about it, but not give you advice.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking with financial advisor Liz Scharf about the factors that go into deciding when to take Social Security retirement benefits. And let's go to Gabe, who's calling in from Bradford. Hi, Gabe.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
Great. Go right ahead.
So my question was, I'm 35 years old. I have, you know, far from retirement. I have four daughters. God forbid if something was to happen to me, how do they calculate, you know, what is divvied up between the children? And is that the case?
Gabe, thanks for your call. So, and good on you for already thinking about Social Security at 35. This is, I think, what Liz Scharf wishes all of us were doing. But what about these death benefits?
Sure. If you haven't done it already, Gabe, it would be a good idea, and for all of the listeners who haven't done this already, is to go to SSA.gov. That stands for Social Security Administration.gov. And you can open up an account online that will tell you what your benefits are. So what you would expect to earn at full retirement age, as well as what you and your family could expect to get if you died. And so you're fairly young. And so, you know, depending on what you've done for an income, your kids and again, it depends on their age, but generally it sounds like you probably have young kids, that they would be eligible for a Social Security benefit that would be like a monthly benefit that helps replace the loss of your income. And then that goes away, I think it's after age 16 or until they graduate from high school. So you can actually go online, see what your benefit is. And again, this benefit, when anyone goes online to see what it is, it's assuming that you are working at a similar wage until your full retirement age. I actually brought a statement of mine, and it shows that I would earn $15.50 a month if I continued to work until 67. And it also lays out what my spouse would earn if I died and what my child would earn per month.
If you died at age 40, you know, if do you get that same Social Security benefit, which is assumed that you're working until full retirement age? But obviously, if you die before that, that's a different story.
Right. So it says basically, if you died today, this is what you could expect based on your current earnings and how they've calculated it based on that very complicated method I explained earlier in the show.
So we got a note from Carol who just wants to clarify something, who writes, isn't it that once you reach full retirement age, you can make as much as you want in terms of an income without it affecting your Social Security benefit? And we went over this a little bit earlier, Liz, that you can continue to work while collecting Social Security, but part of the decision making about when to take it if you're still working is after $17,000, that money is sort of goes against your Social Security payment. But does that continue for the rest of your life if you're working at age 80?
No, that's a great question. If you are at full retirement age, you can work as much as you want and continue to get the same benefit. In the year that you turn full retirement age, you can earn up to, I think it's a little over $44,000. And so sort of between the time that you're working and when you turn full retirement age, they can deduct a dollar for every $3 that you earn up to 44 something. So yes, keep on working because it really is a part of many people's retirement plans is to continue to work and collect Social Security.
And to continue to work because perhaps you enjoy
exactly.
your work. You know, you don't want to necessarily have to stop
right.
working at age
62. I liked the refirement. I've heard that term before, and it really is. It's not just about, you know, relaxing and collecting on your Social Security. It's you know, making a new sort of life for yourself in your older years.
Lee in Saxton's River emailed in to say, I hear a lot about Social Security strategies for married people. Is there a different strategy for a single person regarding when to take Social Security?
So the strategy, in terms of strategy, it's really more about how long can you wait to take it and how long do you think you're going to live. So a lot of it is thinking about your own family history. You know, did your mom live into her 90s? Then you may very well live into your 90s as well. Are you healthy? Have you not had, a serious health scare where you think that you're going to die prematurely? So again, all of these numbers that Social Security have are based on, you know, actuarial tables of when they think you're going to live. So if you can afford to continue working and wait until 70 so you can maximize your benefit, that's the benefit that when you're 90 and no longer working, that's the benefit you're going to see with inflation and perhaps some cost of living adjustments as well.
Is there a penalty against single people in some way, though? Because, you know, if you're married and your spouse makes more, you can take a spousal benefit. But if you're single, you're really relying on your income over the course of your life.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way, that there is a benefit to having the sort of the spousal and it's important for spouses to talk to one another and be on the same page when it comes time to deciding how they're going to take out their Social Security, because it is complicated. And so, yeah, there you are only dealing with one income, but hopefully you've also saved for retirement and you've got some other I'll put that plug in. Everyone, make sure you're saving for retirement on the side, because you're definitely going to need it in addition to the Social Security.
And of course, this is one of the issues that went into decisions around same-sex marriage and legality around same-sex marriage for couples who weren't legally allowed to marry. And some of the questions were about benefits like these that you know,
exactly.
They
and now they can.
To.
And so which is great. Same-sex marriage couples have the same rights as married couples in the Social Security realm.
Let's go to Tom in Milton. Hey, Tom, what are you thinking?
Hello, I'm a retired claims representative from Social Security. I was there 18 years, been retired for a year. And what I wanted to emphasize is that Social Security, like a lot of government agencies and private, are pushing people to use the Internet. The Internet is great. It's wonderful. However, the Internet, as I tell people, does not care about you. As a Social Security representative, I cared about you. So I'm going to, and our motto was, our job is to get you every cent you're entitled to and not one cent more. So we encouraged people. So I encourage people, if you don't know what you're doing, if you have any questions, you're a widow or a widower, you have dependent children at 65 and you have children under 18, a disabled child is to call up and set up an appointment. You can either do it by phone or go into the office and actually talk to a claims representative and tell them all of your information so they can help you make the best decision. And we always recommended, we do not give advice, talk to your financial advisor.
So, Tom, how did you do that? If you want to have people be able to get everything they're entitled to, but you're legally prohibited from offering advice, how do you make sure that you are doing right by people?
I made sure I gave them every single option. Mm-hmm. If you do it 70, this is what you're going to get. One area that people missed a lot, they would come in at 65 and you find out that they were a widow or a widower. Well, you could have gotten benefits at age 60 and then switched over. So I can tell them, if you do this at this time, this is what's going to happen. If you do it at this time, this is what's going to happen. And we always said, we do not know your personal financial situation. And we don't care. These are your options. And so go see your financial advisor or friends or whatever, or, you know, use the calculator, as you already pointed out.
Well, Tom, I'm really glad you called and appreciate hearing from somebody who actually worked on these issues and helping people to collect their Social Security benefits. There are two things that we haven't talked about, Liz, that I want to make sure we just briefly touch on. One is, you are taxed on your Social Security benefits. So don't expect that what it says you're going to get is, you know, exactly what you're going to get, right?
Well, you're taxed if you have other income that puts you into a threshold of being taxed. So a lot of, you know, low and moderate income Vermonters are not taxed on their Social Security. However, you can have up to 85% of your benefit taxed. So if you're someone who has, say, pension plans, money from 401ks, rental income, dividends, that kind of thing, you can be put into a threshold where your Social Security is taxed. And you can either have it taken out of your Social Security payment, or you can pay sort of quarterly payments to Social Security.
Speaking of things that are sometimes taken out of your Social Security payments, Medicare. Medicare is something that you're eligible for at age 65. It's the health insurance program through the government. You have to take it at 65?
So you want to enroll in Medicare at 65. You have a window of 7 months. It's 3 months before your 65th month of birth, the month that you turn 65, and then 3 months after, in which you need to apply for benefits. And keep in mind that you may still be working when you're doing that, and you'll automatically get Part A Medicare. You may or may not need Part B if you have a health insurance plan with your work that's covered or approved by Medicare. And you may also want to sign up for Part D, which is the prescription drugs, because there are penalties if you don't sign up for those pieces of Medicare when you're supposed to. So
even if you're not taking retirement benefits through Social Security until age 70, you should still be signing up for Medicare at 65.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, you have to sign up for Medicare at 65. And so that's also important because the other thing is, if you have already enrolled in Social Security, they'll let you know it's time to sign up for Medicare, but they might not tell you if you haven't actually gone in and started filing for your own benefit for Social Security. It's very complicated, Jane.
I know, but yeah, I thought you were going to make it easy for us, Liz.
No.
Liz Scharf is a financial counselor accredited by the Association for Financial Counseling and Planning Education, and she's a financial coach at Capstone Community Action, a nonprofit in Washington, Orange, and Lamoille counties, helping people gain stability and financial independence. Thanks very much. Really appreciate your time, Liz.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.